Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Michael and Lynn Wilder, the parents of the Wilder boys who started Adams Road Band. Well, actually, Micah started it, right? And the music that you hear when we come on, that is actually from one of the songs. I think Matt composed that. Did he compose that?
I'm not sure who wrote that.
But he's kind of the composer in the whole thing, isn't he?
Well, not necessarily.
No?
They okay. will not give one person credit when they do Adams Road stuff. It's Adams Road stuff.
Yeah. The great guys. I've enjoyed getting to know them many years ago, and it's been a pleasure to know them. But your book, Lynn, is Unveiling Grace, The True Story of How We Found Our Way Out of the Mormon Church. It's published by Zondervan. An excellent read, a fascinating read, very interesting. As I was mentioning before, it's not tedious like a theological work. And I was actually being a little self-deprecating there, like answering Mormons questions or Mormonism 101, which deal mostly with theology. But this is a story of what took place in your life and in Michael's life and in the life of your kids, three of whom served Mormon missions. And we get to Micah, who's the youngest of your boys. You have four kids.
Yes.
Josh, Matt, Micah, and Katie. And so Micah is on this mission in Orlando, Florida. He ends up meeting this Baptist pastor who challenges him to read the New Testament. And so you're noticing the kind of a change in language in some of the emails. And this kind of culminates. Now, I know we're going to move along quickly because we want you to buy the book, okay? And then we want you to fill in the blanks by reading the book yourself. We're not going to give away everything here. But Micah ends up giving this talk towards the end of his mission. And when you read this, you can't help but think, wow, this is some gutsy kid. And to say some of the things he said, you basically, let me just read this here. It says, on January 18th, we received an official letter from his mission president that announced the details of the close of Micah's mission. It stated, Elder Wilder will be returning home after serving an honorable mission in the Florida Orlando mission. A copy of his itinerary is enclosed. He was scheduled to come home on February 15th, 2006 at 4:09 p.m. How precise. I mean, this church is down to the letter. We looked forward to his homecoming with eager anticipation. What we didn't know, you say, was that on the same day, about 3 weeks before his mission was supposed to end, Micah attended a meeting of approximately 60 missionaries. At the meeting, he was expected to bear testimony of all things Mormon that he had learned the past 2 years. His mission president was a distinguished grain gentleman. I'll call President Smoot, which is a very typical Mormon last name. At the point when Micah spoke, President Smoot, quote-unquote, had just reminded the missionaries that a proper Mormon testimony included. And this is telling because there's five things that they were instructed that they should include in this talk. One, I know the church is true. Two, I know Joseph Smith was a prophet of God. Three, I know the Book of Mormon is the most correct book on the face of the earth. Four, I know we have a living prophet today. And five, Jesus Christ is the Savior. Okay, Lynn, what does Micah not do?
Micah said this training lasted about 2 hours, and now it's time for Micah to stand up and bear testimony of what he learned over the last 2 years. The mission president actually realized Micah was only bearing testimony of Christ, and Micah thinks had done this on purpose to kind of bait him to make sure that when he spoke at the end of his mission, he would give all 5 points of a good Mormon testimony. Micah told me it was like standing on the edge of a diving board and jumping off into the arms of a new God. Is this big God, this new God, big enough to catch me here? And if he is, you know, I'm going to trust him. So he stood up and said, basically, all you need is Jesus.
Wow. That is not what we normally hear from Latter-day Saints.
No.
So how does the mission president react to that?
Nothing for a couple of days.
Okay.
Then on a Friday morning, Micah gets a phone call, and his mission president says, "I'd like to see you." And they arrange to meet. And Micah goes into an inquisition that lasts several hours, after which Micah's temple recommend has been taken away from him.
Wow.
And they decide to send him home from his mission 3 weeks early.
Just for that? I mean, if we say just for that, that's kind of how we look at it. But I'm sure they're probably thinking there's more to it than that, because they would never admit that merely because Micah wanted to give all the glory to Jesus, that that's why we were punishing him. But he doesn't follow the rules of protocol here. And really, when you look at those 5 points, it sounds like listening to a conference message, because you hear about just about all those 5 points when you hear a conference message. But Micah is given all the glory to Jesus. And this is something that you're noticing in his emails all along, too.
Yes.
He's always wanting to do that, which, even for you being in the Mormon environment, sounds a little bit odd.
We certainly didn't understand it. We never would say that in Mormonism. I wasn't even sure what that meant.
There were some things that happened. Okay, if he's going to be sent home 3 weeks before the end of his mission, that's coming home dishonorably, right? Sort of? I mean, doesn't it kind of sound like that?
We had a number of conversations with the church leaders.
Yeah, and basically what, I'm not sure what everybody was thinking, but when you're sent home, it's a dishonorable mission.
Mm-hmm.
But they actually called the people at the very top and said,
what should we do about this
young man? Yeah, and they said, well, has he broken any rules? No. Has he done this? No. He's professed Christ alone. Just send him home. And,
really?
And so he still was, he was honorably released by the stake president, even though he did not want to do that. but it was a very unique situation. You'll get more detail, I think, in the book. We really don't have time to go into it here.
Right.
But it was a very interesting scenario. But I will state this, that I'm, during this procedure, and again, we're seeing Micah change over a period of time, his emails, but again, he's so loving. I mean, the elders referred to him when he's on his mission, when he was a zone leader, they called it the love zone.
Oh, really?
That was the terminology used. If you get sent to Micah's area, you're going to be in the love zone.
Hmm.
And that was well known. But, when Micah was given this testimony of Christ, by faith alone, through grace alone, by Christ alone, the missionaries, those 60 missionaries really have never heard that. And they were touched. Joseph, who's my son-in-law now, was in the crowd. And he said, it was a very long talk about Christ and your relationship with Christ and about what he has done for us. And about him hanging on the cross, and that he would look into your eyes and he would say, I would die for you if you're the only person that lived. Mm. It's that relationship Micah was talking about. He said, Joseph said, he was sitting in there. He said, I didn't understand what he was saying, but it was piercing me. I didn't get it. He said, I looked around, I saw these big, huge missionaries. They were crying. They have never, ever heard anything like that before. About that. And so Micah, sent home, and he's going through this challenge, how to, or this, not a church court, but he's being released by the stake president. And it's really a very unique situation to be in. And again, you need to read the book to find out how that works out. But before Micah came home, I got a call from the stake president. And he said, we've got a problem with Micah. I mean, here's my most righteous son, We've got a problem with Micah. And I go, really, President? What's the problem? He says, your son, this is the quote, your son has the spirit of the devil in him. By professing Christ alone, you now have the spirit of the devil in you. Now, what I am sad, and and I have to repent of, is that I didn't tell that stake president where to go. Because I was still under the law. The stake president was still my high priest. So I had to not say anything. I did not challenge him. That's how you're trained in the Mormon church. When the leaders speak down to you about things, you don't challenge.
Yeah, well, okay? You don't have priesthood authority to go over him. He has it over you, but you don't over him.
Right, and again, even after the whole event, I was still active in the Mormon church. I still believed in it. I didn't understand it. I was offended, you know, to a degree, but I still believed in his priesthood line authority and what he was doing. I didn't get it. It took me over a year later to figure it out.
It's just amazing, though, that he would make such a leap in that type of an accusation when here Micah is merely pointing people to Jesus and Jesus alone.
Yeah,
And he's still a faithful Mormon, though.
I think it's amazing that Micah got to that point just by reading the Bible. You have to realize he has no Christians to ask questions to. All
True.
He's doing is reading the Bible, and the Holy Spirit is unveiling the truth to him, unveiling the God of grace to him. And he saw such a much bigger God, and he trusted this much bigger God in order to do that. And Micah could have lost everything. Scholarship at BYU. He might have lost his parents. Yeah. He might have lost his girlfriend. He could have lost everything that was once dear to him.
And I don't think a lot of people, when they're dialoguing with Mormons, realize the huge price that individual is going to have to pay once they do make a decision to leave the Mormon church. I really don't think a lot of Christians understand that, because in Christianity, if I was to get upset, you know, with someone at my church, I'd just go down the street, find one that's comfortable with doctrinally, and I can just start all over again. Mormons don't do that. I often tell people, where do you go once you leave the only true church? That's a difficult decision for Latter-day Saints. So, on our final broadcast, is we want to talk about what happens now after he gets off his mission and now it's put in your lap. What are you going to do with what Micah has come to understand?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear previous shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is free on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the right side where it says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. At Mormonism Research Ministry, we're committed to equipping Christian believers to effectively share their faith with their Mormon friends and loved ones. That's why we produce Viewpoint on Mormonism, as well as operate our website, mrm.org, where you can find a wealth of information on this topic. We also have books and downloadable MP3s available online. In addition, we invite you to join in on the conversation at our blog site called Mormon Coffee. We want to be your resource for helping you better share the Christian faith.